The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Gemara, Masech Techulin, Perek Shiloh HaKam, Daf Kuf Lametes Omed Beis. The Gemara asks, Homon minater minay. From where do we see that the Torah speaks about Homon? The miracle of Purim takes place after the close of the Torah. And the fact is, it's after the close of the entire Nach, and all of the prophets, and the Ksuvim and the writings. And therefore, the Torah doesn't tell us about the story of Purim. So the Gemara asks, Homon minater minayin, where do we find that someplace in the Torah indicates to us, if not explicitly, at least derech remes, if it's not, at least in some, it gives us a clue that there will be a Homon that will come to the world. So the Gemara brings the posuk from Bereishis Hamin Ha'etz. Now that posuk is in Bereishis Beis, where the Almighty created Adam and Chava, the first man and woman, and he told them that you can eat from all of the trees of the garden, but from the Eitz Hadas Tevaro, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat from. And the serpent came and enticed Chava to eat, and then she gave to the first man. She saw that the tree was good and it was great desire to the eyes. It was good to eat and a great desire to the eyes, and it was very desiring to the seichel, to the mind. And she took and she ate, and she gave also to her husband, and he ate. And then their eyes were opened up and they realized that they were naked, and they made for themselves leaves of figs in order to make clothing from. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and they hid. Vayikra Hashem Elokim El Adam, and Hashem called to them and said, where are you? And they said, we are naked and therefore we are hiding. And he said, who told you that you're naked? Did you eat from the tree which I have commanded you not to eat from? Now there it states, Hamin ha eitz. The word Hamin, Heimem Nun, words in the Sefer Torah are written without vowels. So therefore that word can be pronounced Homon. It's the same letters, Heimem Nun, as in the name of Homon. So here the Gemara tells us, here we have a clue that one day there would rise up a Homon. Hamin ha'etz, from the tree. Homon, asher tzivisichi levilti achol mimeno acholto, that I commanded you not to eat from, did you eat? And then the story continues. The Gemara goes further, and the Gemara says, if you have a clue in the Torah for Homon, so certainly there must be some clue in the Torah for Esther. Where do we find Esther? So the Gemara answers, Vanochi Haster Astir. Gemara brings from Pashas Vayelech. Near the end of the Sefer Torah, in Parshas Vayelech, Dvorim Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yudches, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Hincho Sheichi V'Mavasecho, that you will die and you will lay with your fathers. And the nation will get up and they will be drawn after alien gods, and they will forsake me, and they will forsake my covenant, and I will become very angry on that day. Vazavti, and I shall forsake them. Vihistati fonai mehem, and I will conceal my face from them. Which means that they will go into golus, they will go into exile. Vohoyu leechel kumatzouhu raos rabis v'tzoris, and they will find great sorrows, great troubles. And the Rashi brings, Vistati for Naimehem, they will think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has concealed himself from us. Voma bayemahu, and they will say, Hale alki ein eleikai bi kirbi mitzouni harosa eila, that we are finding ourselves in so many difficulties and troubles because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with us. He has forsaken us. V'hanochi astir fonai b'yemahu, and I will conceal my face from them on that day. I'll call haro asher oso, and all of the evil that they have done, kifona elelkim elehim acherim, because they have turned to gods of others. That pasuk, it states, haster astir, and that's how the word Esther is spelled. Haster astir. So here we see a clue that one day there would be an Esther. Here the context of the pasuk is that I will conceal my face from them because of all of the evil that they have done. Then the Gemara goes further, and the Gemara says, Mordechai mina teru minayin. If there's a Haman and if there's an Esther in the Torah, so there must be a Mordechai also. So the Gemara says yes. Niksiv Mordechai umitagaminon meirad dachya. Here the Gemara brings from Parshas Kisiso, pasuk lamed pasuk chov beis chov gimel. Hashem told Moshe, "Vato kach lecho b'somim reish Mordechai. You shall take for yourself perfumes. Rosh Mordechai, this is a particular type of perfume, and Rosh means the best, very, very good ones." And the Torah starts to itemize Chamesh Meis Vikin Meng Besem, the different types that you should take and the different volume, and what should you do with it. From that you should make Ketores. This was the incense which was brought on the Mizbeach and the altar. It was burnt and it gave off a beautiful scent. Now the word, the first perfume mentioned is Mordechai. The Targum says, what is Mordechai? Meira Dachyo. Meira Dachyo spells out Mordechai. So here we have a clue in the Torah to Mordechai. So we have the clue of Haman in the beginning of the Sefer Torah, where it's speaking about eating from the Eitz Hadas Teva Ra, from the tree of knowledge of life and death, of good and evil. We have a clue to Esther from the end of the Sefer Torah, which states that when you turn from me, I will turn away from you, and I will conceal myself from you, and you will find such great sorrows and ro'os, and anechi aster, aster, I will conceal my face from you. And then we have a clue in the middle of the Sefer Torah to Mordechai, because you should take for yourself b'somim reish Mordechai, these very, very beautiful perfumes and scents. And the first one mentioned is Mordechai, which is called in Targum Meir Dachyo, and that spells out Mordechai's name. We have to be aware, not everyone is aware of this stuff, of how important the Yeshua, the salvation and the miracle of Purim was. The fact is that from the sages, even though it is not one of the Yom Tovim which is commanded to us by the Torah, because it took place after the time of Moshe, nevertheless, from certain perspectives, it is greater than all of the other Yom Tovim that we have. Those are enacted by the Torah, or those enacted afterwards. And this is explained in the Medrash Shocher Tov, the Pasuk in Mishlei. Mishlei Tes, it states, Chochmais Bonso Veso Chotzva Amudeho Shiva. Through her wisdom, she built a house and she hewed out seven pillars. The simple meaning of this, Rashi brings, refers to the Almighty. When the Almighty created the world, he created it with great wisdom. And he built it on seven pillars, and this refers to the 7 days of the Maaseh Bereishis, 7 days of creation. And then the psukim continue, Tov chativcha moschayena, that shechted meat, she poured out wine, af orcha shulchono, and she set her table. The Medrash tells us, perhaps because it's written in Loshon Nekeva, it's written in a feminine gender, that this refers also to Esther Amalka. Esther Amalka built her house with great wisdom. And she prepared meat, she poured wine, and she set her table. This refers to the wisdom that Esther used against Haman. When she invited him to the party, and she gave him meat and she gave him wine, and that was the beginning of his downfall. So the Medrash says as follows: Omer Ababozu Esther Amalka, Shibisho Shigia Tsar Godel Yisrael Bimei Mordechai, in the days when great sorrows came to Israel in the time of Mordechai, Ma Osaso, what did she do? She prepared a great suda, a great banquet for Achashverosh and for Haman. Yishtakru yain b'yaser, she served them a great deal of wine. Uksover hayo Haman b'atzmai shechol hakalei kovet, and Haman thought that she was honoring him. V'hu lo yedea sheposalei metzuda, he didn't know that she was actually spreading her net for him. Through giving him so much wine, she saved her nation forever. And she even prepared her table and she acquired a name for forever. What does it mean that she acquired a name forever? In this world and the next world? Now the Medrash says that Esther's name will never be forgotten because of what she did on Purim. In the context that it will never be forgotten, the Medrash says, we mean never. Shekol ha-mayadim yubeteli, because there will be a time when all of the Yom Tovim will be forgotten. After the Mashiach comes, we might not find it necessary to keep all of the Yom Tovim. But we may Purim le'yeniv tolin, but the days of Purim will never be forgotten. As it states in the Megillah Esther, we may Purim, we may Hapurim Eile LaYavru Mitecha Yehudim. The days of Purim shall never pass by from the Yehudim. V'zichrom le'yosef mizarom. And its remembrance will never cease from its children. Blezer comes along and he says, Af yemei ha-kippurim einen betalim le'olam. He says, the Yom Tovim might cease one day. Purim will not, and also Yom HaKippurim. As it states, V'hoyesho zeis lachem lechukas olam. Yom Kippur shall be a statute forever. Now here we have that the Medrash tells us, this is the Medrash Shehetev in Mishle, that even though all of the Yom Tovim will cease, and these are talking about Yom Tovim that are from the Torah, but Purim will not, and according to the Blazer, Yom Kippur also. Now many explanations have been given into this, and to try to understand why, after all, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, those are Yom Tovim, which are written in the Torah. Purim is not even instructed, commanded to us in the Torah. Purim took place after the time of the Torah, long time after. It was after we went into Eretz Yisrael, and after we built the Beis HaMikdash, and after the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It was destroyed by the Babylonians, and then we went into exile, and at the end of that exile, 70 years later, then rose up Modai Uporas, and they took over the exile, and then rose up Achashverosh, and then Purim took place. The fact is, the Gemara calls it Seif Kol Anisim. It was the last of all of the great miracles to take place, which were neatly kosev, which were recorded in the Kisvei HaKodesh, in the holy writings. So why should this take precedence over the other Yom Tovim? The simple meaning of this is what the Maral brings, Maral Meir Prag, in the Sefer Or HaKodesh, in the Zagdoma, Daf Mem Zayin, Sefer Amud Beis. Because the miracle of Purim, from one perspective, was greater than all of the other miracles. Because never was there a decree on Kol Yisrael, on all of Israel, a decree of Mavus, a decree of death. Haman and Achashverosh became the architects of a decree, the Hashmed, the Hareg, the Abed, as Kol HaYehudim. That to destroy and annihilate all Jews, young and old, women and children, and to take up all of their spoils, and on one day. And when we say Kol HaYehudim, it was Kol HaYehudim, because Achashverosh was Melech Misefer Elam at Sefer, the Gemara says. He reigned from one end of the world to the other. He was one of the few kings in history of the world that was given a kingship, a sovereignty, a total sovereignty. And therefore, all of the Jews of the world were under his control. And the decree, therefore, was on all of the Jews of the world. Now Parai, he wasn't interested in killing the Jews. He enslaved them. This is why the Gemara brings in Masechta Megillah Daf Yud Aleph that we are required to say Shiro. We are required to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Purim even more so than on Pesach. Because Pesach celebrates Me'avdus Lacherus, where we went from slavery to freedom, while Purim celebrates Mimoves Lachayim, from death to life. And even the other empires, for example, the Babylonians, or Edom, the Romans, they did not decree death and all Israel. They killed plenty, but they did not decree death on the whole nation. They decreed on the nation Golus to go into exile. Or you take the empire of Yavon, the Greek empire. They decreed assimilation, but not death. So therefore, this was the only time in the history of the world of which there was the decree al kol ha-Yehudim, on all of the Jews, ha-Hashmid ul-Harig, that they should, heaven forbid, be put to death. And the miracle was a miracle and a salvation for the lives of all of Israel. So therefore, from this perspective, it was a greater miracle and a greater yontif than all of the rest. Lezer comes along and he says, I agree, but af Yom Kippurim, but I add Yom Kippur also. Why? Yom Kippur comes to bring kapora, to atone for Klal Yisrael against hate, against their sins. And it is the Satan that wants to bring Klal Yisrael to sin. And it's the Satan's ambition. Mora says, Asotan Zu Malach HaMovis. This is the angel of death. He also wants to destroy all of Israel. Everyone. This is why on Yom Kippur, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a Soy Erchot L'Azazel. We took two goats, and one goat was sent to Azazel, that was sent to appease the Satan. So therefore, and Yom Kippur also comes to save the entire nation. Except the distinction between Purim and Yom Kippur is Purim, there was a decree of physical death on the nation. And Yom Kippur was a decree of spiritual death. The Satan was interested in trying to destroy the nefesh, the souls of Israel, by bringing them to hate, by bringing them to sin. And this is why we find that on Purim, there was the celebration is a physical celebration. It's a still celebration of eating and drinking and all of the physical enjoyments. While Yom Kippur is a spiritual celebration. They're just to the contrary. We do not eat. We do not drink. We abstain from all physical enjoyments. And others bring from a medrash that the words Purim and Yom Kippurim are very similar. You have Purim and then Kippurim. So this is the equation between the two. Therefore, the Blazer said, we must put in Yom Kippur also. But the Tanakhama, the first opinion, says, no, Purim is greater than Yom Kippurim. Because on Yom Kippur, incidentally, the origin of Yom Kippur was the golden calf. And there we see that the Satan came and he wanted to mislead all of Israel. But the first opinion says, no. Because even though the Satan is a danger, a great danger, and he wants to destroy all of Israel, his decree is not on the tzaddikim. It's not on the righteous. They do not submit to him. But on Purim, Haman's decree was to destroy the tzaddikim and the rishoyim. There was no distinction. Therefore, Purim is even greater. So we see from here the greatness of Purim. And from here we can understand why Mordechai and Esther, they went to the Sanhedrin and they requested that Purim should be celebrated as a yontif forever. And mitzvahs, four mitzvahs, should be enacted, because they held, how is it that such a great day comes to Israel that never equaled before? And it should not be a Yantif for Israel. And there should not be mitzvahs of the day. And the Sanhedrin accepted. And it was incorporated and enshrined in the Kisvei HaKodesh, in the holy writings. And it is a day that we keep forever. This is why now the Gemara is wondering, Esther min Atera minayim, if there's such a day to come to Israel, then how is it that it's not in the Torah? If it's not as great as the festivals of the Torah, we can understand. But if it's as great or even perhaps greater, then how is it it's not mentioned in the Torah? It's impossible. It must be somewhere in the Torah. So therefore the Gemara asked, Haman minayin, where is Haman mentioned in the Torah? Where is Esther mentioned in the Torah? Where is Mordechai mentioned in the Torah? The Vilna Gaon adds to this. He says there's another perspective that bothered the Gemara. Purim, this great Yantif, and this great miracle took place in the Golos, in exile, as we said. This, that miracles happen in Eretz Yisrael, this we are told, and this we are accustomed to. For example, we learned in the Mishnah Novos, Asor Nisim Nasel Aviseinu Bebeis Hamikdash Bechol Yom. There were 10 miracles that took place for our fathers in the Beis HaMikdash every day. So in Eretz Yisrael, we're accustomed to miracles. All kind of miracles. Every day. And even the miracles which took place by the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, the plagues, or the 40 years in the desert. Every day there were miracles. There was the mon. There was the water, the spring, which followed them in the desert. There was the Ananiya covered, the cloud of protection. That, the Gemara says, it's also a Gemara in Masechta Megillah, and a few Dalit. That, the Gemara says, was the same as Eretz Yisrael. Because Kedem Shehuk Shara Oretz, before Klal Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael, then the Shekhinah dwelled with Yisrael when they went out of Egypt and in the desert, just as he would dwell with them in Eretz Yisrael later on when they came to conquer the land. And if the Shekhinah dwells in great intensity, so then there is no question that there should be Nisim Gluim, open miracles all of the time. But Purim took place in the Golos, and in the darkest days of the Golos. Fact is, the Gemara brings it was a double Golos, Golos Pesach Golos. We were in Golos Bovel, and then from there we went into Golos Modai Oporas. This is how Mordechai and Esther got from Bovel, Iraq, to Iram, to Shushan. And in Golos, there we don't. We are not accustomed to see miracles. So if such a great miracle would take place then, this makes it even more extraordinary. So this also was in the Gemara's question. There must be some indication in the Torah to all of this that was to happen. Now, the Gemara answers. Excuse me, is it too drafty there? Maybe could we ask someone to push? Esther's in the Torah. There'll be a time, Hashem told Moshe, that after you die, the people will turn away and they'll forget about me, they'll forget about the covenant, and they will go into Golos. And there will be great sorrows. And I will conceal my face from them. This is what the Gemara answered. Now, this doesn't seem to be an answer, because that seems to be a klolot, a teichacha that seems to be a rebuke, a curse. Esther was a great brocha. Brucha Esther. So this is the meaning. This is the meaning, and it's very deep meaning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that when you go into Golus and it will be dark and you will not be able to see me, and no longer will you have the Beis HaMikdash, and no longer will you have the Shekhinah, no longer will you have the miracles, and I will conceal my face from you. This does not mean I will conceal my face from you. In those words in which it is written, Anechi Asta Asta, I will conceal myself from you, there I'm revealing to you that there will be a rising star on the horizon by the name of Esther. It will look like I will conceal my face to you, but there will be an Esther. An Esther that will perform miracles as great, if not greater, than all of the preceding miracles. That when you go into Golus and you will find Soros Rabbis, and you will say, Honohi Aster Aster, you will say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has concealed himself from us. I have not concealed myself from you. Instead, I have given you an Esther. The only difference in the miracles will be that in Eretz Yisrael, they will be open miracles. In the Golus, they will be Hester. They will be miracles which are concealed and hidden. But the greatness of the miracle will be as great, if not even greater. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what the Torah is revealing. That when you will go away from me, and you will think I will forget you, no. When you think that I have turned away from you, that's when will rise up an Esther. And that's exactly what happened during the time of Haman in Ahasuerus. And notice it states, Haster, Aster, twice does it say. To tell us that it will be a double concealment. The darkness will be double. It will be, firstly, like we mentioned, a Golus from Babel and a Golus from Modea Poras, and it will be Tzoris from Ahasuerus and Tzoris from Haman. Now the Gemara says, Mordechai, where is he mentioned in the Torah? So it brings from the Besomim. What is meant by this? The power of Mordechai. What was the power of Mordechai? His power was to stop the plague and the decree of death of Haman and Ahasuerus. This is what Mordechai did. Mordechai came, and he came to Esther, and he says that you have to go to the king under all circumstances, and you have to tell the king what's happening. So Mordechai was an individual who was capable of forestalling and annulling the greatest decree of death that ever came to the world. Where do we find this power? So on this, the sages say that if you look into the mitzvahs of the Besomim and the Ketores, there it states Mardoror, and that's Marya, that's Meira Dachyo. And here it lies the power of Mordechai. We find that by the Ketores had the power to stop a plague of death. In Parshas Korach, this is Bamidbor Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph. after the whole episode of Korach, who tried to usurp the authority for Moshe Rabbeinu, and the earth opened up and it swallowed him and so forth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a plague of death on all of the people. And Moshe said to Aaron, Kachas amachto, quickly, quickly, take your instrument and go to the altar and take from there the incense, and quickly go to the Edo, quickly go to the congregation v'chaper aleihem, and atone for them. Ki yotza ha-ketzev libnei ha-Hashem heichel ha-nogef, because anger has come from Hashem, the plague has begun. And Aaron did this, and he ran, and people were dying, and he took his incense v'yamayit ben ha-meshim v'ven ha-chayim, and he stood before the dead and the living. Bateotzara magefo, and the magefo, the plague of death, ceased. The Rashi brings, how did Moshe know to tell Aaron to do this? So he brings in the Gemara in Shabbos, and that paid test, that when Moshe went up to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, at first the angels wanted to kill him. They didn't want a human being to be up there and to take the Torah away. After they had a discussion with Moshe and they got to know him, they became the greatest of friends. So it states they became such friends with him that not only they gave him the Sefer Torah, but each angel gave him a gift. So it says, "Ve'af Malach HaMoves Mosa Leidover," and even the Malach HaMoves became friends with Moshe, the angel of death, and he also gave him a gift. What was the gift he gave him? He says, "I'll tell you a secret. What I am vulnerable to is the ketores, the incense." And this is how Moshe knew that once Heichel HaNogef, that the plague of death had started in the camp of Israel, he told Aaron to run and to take the incense, which was made from these perfumes, and go out into the Edo, into the community, and this will stop the plague of death. Here, in that mitzvah, is enshrined the name of Mordechai. For he too had the power to stop the plague of death that was instituted by Ahasuerus and Haman. Incidentally, we see, the Gemara says that the Keteris was Mechaper Aloshen Hara. Keteris brought forgiveness on the sin of Loshen Hara, on the sin of slander and talebearing. And that also is death, because it states that Loshon Hora is memish. Loshon Hora kills. Hamoves biyara loshon. Moves biyara loshon. Death is beheld within the tongue. So this was Mordechai. Now, what's a little more difficult to understand is the Gemara says, Homan minatere minai. What does it want from there? You've showed us where this great miracle, which is to be greater than even during the times of Moshe, will have a source in the Torah. But if Haman is a person who can institute such a decree that no one else before ever did, and no one else afterwards would, a decree, Al kol ha-Yehudim la-hashmid la-hareg el-abed, on all Jews of the world, that they should die, heaven forbid, on one day. Then this is not merely some tramp in the street. This is someone who has enormous powers. And not only enormous physical powers, but enormous spiritual powers. Not spiritual powers letov, for good, but spiritual powers for evil. An individual can institute such a decree. And not only that, but it's a decree actually to destroy the world. Because the Torah tells us Bishvil Avraham Nivra Olam. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world in the schus of Avraham. Ki Becha in Avraham will be blessed Kol Mishpecha Yisrael Domo, all of the families of the earth. Tanai Hishna Kodesh Baruch Hu Yimaisa Bereishis, Kodesh Baruch Hu made a condition with the creation that if Yisrael will bring Torah into the world, then there'll be a creation. If not, I'll return it to what it was before. So some individual gets in his head that he wants to destroy all the Jews of the world, and he's capable of just about carrying that out. The decree was there. This is not just another individual, this is a person of enormous physical and spiritual strengths for evil. And this has to be mentioned in the Torah. So the Gemara says it is. Hamin ha'etz. Is this from the tree that you ate, that I commanded you not to eat its fruit? Now what? What is the connection there? What does that mean? In order to understand this, we first have to understand the very difficult parsha of what was the trees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the first days of creation. It states in Bereishis Beis, Pasuk Tes, Vayatzmach Hashem Elokim min ha'adama, kol etz nechmod lemare v'tev lemachal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created many, many beautiful, lovely trees that were good to look at, and their fruit was good to eat. Etz HaChaim b'seich hagon, and in the middle of the garden he created the Etz HaChaim, the tree of life, Etz Hadas Tevaro, and then also he created the Etz Hadas Tevaro, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now this is a very, very difficult parsha. It's a very deep parsha, extremely deep, and let's see if we can understand a little of it this evening. The questions are asked, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu forbid the first man and woman to eat from the Eitz Hadas, to eat from the tree of knowledge? What's wrong with knowledge? We are always taught that there can be nothing more desirable, nothing more admirable than knowledge. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu forbid man to eat from there? And it says, "Benechmar ohetz lahaskil." The tree was envious to the mind. That's one question. Second question. After they did eat and they transgressed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commands, it states, "Vatipokachno einei shnehem." Their eyes were opened. Now, not that they couldn't see before; they could see before, but their eyes were opened to new dimensions and wisdom. The Maral in his Nesivat Mimus, in Nesivas Olam, he brings from the Rambam in the Sefer Meir HaNevuchim that the Rambam asked the question, "V'chineistim schar al shor avera." Now that they went and they transgressed Hashem's command, were they rewarded for it? But tipokachno, their eyes were opened to new dimensions of wisdom. Why were they rewarded? The third question is what does it mean? What was the Eitz HaChaim b'seich hagon, the tree of life, which they were permitted to eat from to begin with, but after they transgressed and they ate from the Eitz Hadas, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Pasuk Chof Beis, "Heinodo moi ke'achad bimeno ladas tevarova atopen yishlach yodav lakach gam Eitz HaChaim." Now that he has eaten from the Eitz Hadas tevaro, lest he shall stretch out his hand and eat from the Eitz HaChaim, v'ochal v'chai le'olam, and he will live forever, we better send them out of the garden. So firstly, why were they forbidden in that fruit? It's knowledge. Secondly, if so, after they ate, why were they given an extra dimension of wisdom? They transgressed Hashem's mitzvahs. And thirdly, before they were allowed to eat from the tree of life, and now they were forbidden. The Torah HaKdosha is referred to as Chochma Ubino, wisdom and understanding. For example, it states, Kihi Chochmaschem Ubinaschem Bein Hagoyim. The Torah shall be your wisdom and your understanding amongst the nations. All of the nations of the world shall admire you for your wisdom of Torah. It's also called Temimus. Torah Hashem Temima Meshimus Nofesh. The Torah of Hashem is trusting, is faithful. Meshivas Nofesh. It revives one soul. Now these two descriptions are actually contradictory. Wisdom and understanding and trust and faithfulness. Because wisdom is when a person does something because of his understanding of it. Temimus, trust and faithfulness, that's what a person does even though he doesn't understand it. That's why faith is called, pure faith is called blind faith. Wisdom is what we do because we can see with our eyes. If we cannot see with our physical eyes, we can see be'enei haseichel, we can see with the mind's eyes. Al pi chochmosai usvunosai. Temimus, that's the person who trust me, rely on me. You don't understand. A son has trust in his father and mother. You don't understand. Do it anyhow. I'm telling you it's good. Trust is what we do not because we understand, not because we see, but because we have emuna. We believe, we trust. So these two descriptions are contradictory to each other. The answer is yes. They are contradictory to each other. But the Torah has both attributes. And one tempers the other. The Torah is a mix of both. And so is Israel, who were capable of receiving the Torah. They are also a mix of both. As it states, Urais of Israel Chatu, Israel and Torah are one of the same. It was for this reason that Klal Yisrael was the only nation that was able to receive the Torah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the Torah, all of the nations asked, how can we accept? First we have to know what's written in it, and then we'll tell you if we can accept or not. What do you want? You want us to accept blindly? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Israel, they said, Nasa v'nishma. Whatever you tell us to do, whatever is in the Torah, we will do. Even though we don't know what's in the Torah yet. The Gemara brings. Once there was a goy, a Gentile, and he came to one of the great rabbis of the Gemara. And he said, your people are wild and impetuous. How do they accept something, a doctrine which they don't know what's written in it? First they should have asked what's written in it, and then they should have made up their mind if they can accept it or not. Instead they said, Nasa v'nishma, that whatever it is, we will accept it. And then later on we'll find out what's in it. How could they do such a thing? So he answered him, because we go with temimus v'yosher. We go with trust. You go with crookedness. But we go with trust. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's good. So we take it. Later on we'll see what it is. Now, this doesn't mean that we fulfill Torah with a blindness and with an ignorance. Le'amor is chosid, states the ignorant cannot become great in Torah. He chachmaskem will be naskem. It is your wisdom and your understanding that all of the nations will admire. It is both. It means that we accept totally whatever is written in the Torah without knowing what's in the Torah. But then we will study the Torah and we will go into great depths in the Torah to drink from the wisdom of the Torah. This is the mix of where one is tempered with the other. The Temimus and the Chochmah, and the Chochmah and the Temimus. If we go into this a little deeper, the Torah is called a fire. Esh das lomai. Why is it called a fire? That's because of its wisdom. Fire is unstoppable. The fire consumes everything in its path. And fire is called Azus. Azus means brazenness. And wisdom is called Azus, brazenness. Because true wisdom is unbending. True wisdom must be an objective search for the truth, no matter what the truth might be. This is what true wisdom is. And nothing must stop the search of truth. And that's why wisdom is called Azus, a brazenness. And that's why it states, Lahabai Shon Lemet. The opposite of brazenness is busha. Busha is where a person is bashful. He goes back instead of going charging forward. Azus is the quality of the leopard. The leopard is courageous. He charges forward. He's never afraid. The baishon is afraid. He moves back. It states la baishon lomed. A baishon will not come to wisdom. You're afraid. You won't come to the depths of the ultimate truth. But on the other hand, though, this wisdom is tempered with a fear of Hashem, and it's tempered with this trust in Hashem. At the end of Parshas Yisro, in Chof Posuk Yud Zayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael, "Bavu etia yirose al peneichem levilti sechtol." That I am coming to give you the Torah in order that you shall see me, you shall come as close as possible to see me, and the fear of me will always be on your face. This is why a Jew, he has both milas. From one aspect he has Azus. The Gemara in Masechet Beitzah, the Gemara says, Yisrael Azim Shebu Umais. Yisrael are the most Azim. They're the most courageous of the nations. From one aspect he has this courage and this brazenness, but from the other aspect he has a busha. He's reserved also. He knows when not to go too far, because he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that imprinted on his soul forever a great fear. Fear is the opposite of this brazenness. If wisdom, however, is not tempered with fear and it becomes unbridled, then this Azus is what the Gemara calls chutzpah, asponim. And it states asponim legehenem. That's too much. Now, from this we learn that the trustiness that Yisrael has in HaKadosh Baruch Hu That acts as a gvul, that acts as a boundary to their wisdom. It's a shear. And every boundary and every measure is to keep things centered. What happens if you don't have a fence? Then you go into territory which is not yours. What happens if something doesn't have a control? Then it moves off center. And because Klal Yisrael has this, this is why they and the Torah are known as Tam and Yosher. Yosher means perfectly straight, in the middle. Something that's exactly in the middle is perfectly straight and balanced. They have wisdom, but at the same time they have faith and reliance. And the two make them perfectly straight. Like it states on the Torah, Pekudei Hashem Yishorim, Misam Chelev, the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are upright, are straight. This gives the quality of eternity to something. When something is perfectly straight in the middle, then it's eternal. This we know also in geometry and in engineering. When something is off balance, then it's going to collapse. When something is perfectly balanced, perfectly in the center, then it becomes indestructible. And therefore, when something is not tempered properly, it goes off to the right, it goes off to the left. Eventually it'll disappear. When something is tempered properly and exactly balanced in the middle, then it can stand indefinitely. So this gives the quality of nitzchius, of eternity. And this is chayim, this is life. Life carries on. We find that Yaakov was called Ishtam. That was his name. And it states, the Chazal say, Yaakov Avinu Lemesh. Yaakov never died. The Gemara asks, but we see he died? All right, we'll have to deal with that. But he lives on forever. His children are called Yeshurun, upright. And it states also, on Klal Yisrael, Le'alman Yisrael v'netzach Yisrael le'yishaker. Yisrael lives on forever. So this is an explanation in these two qualities, wisdom and temimus, which means we have to go forward with the greatest of courage and brazenness to understand the greatest depths of the world. But at the same time, there are limitations. There are certain times when we must stop. And from there, let blind faith take over and rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pasuk in Keheles, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Tes Zayin, which states, Al Tiyitzarek Harbe Ve'al Tishachem Yeser. Shlema Melech said, do not be too righteous and do not be too wise. Gomer Tishemeim, lest you become isolated and desolate. Now what does it mean, do not be too wise? Shlema Melech was the wisest, Echochem Ikolodem, he was the wisest of all men. Yet he instructed and said, do not be too wise. From here we see that there's a possibility of too much wisdom. There is wisdom, and then sometimes too much wisdom. A chokhmah yaseira, an extra dimension of wisdom, which is not for man. And this means too much, and it'll unbalance him. Just like too much of anything will take man off balance,
So then, if this is true by wisdom, and wisdom is perhaps the most powerful, or at least one of the most powerful forces in the world, then certainly it can take man off balance. And if something, like we said before, is exactly mid-center, and that will represent Chaim v'Netzach, an eternal life, when something starts to lean, and that represents Moves, death, then certainly too much wisdom. Now, let's go back to the trees. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he created him in total perfection, in perfect balance. Pasuk in Tehillim, Chof Hei, Pasuk Chof Aleph, Tom V'Yosher, Yitzruni, Kiki V'Sicho. You created me with a completeness and a perfect uprightness. Kiki V'Sicho, because I have trusted in you, I have hoped in you. Now this is what we're referring to. And this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man. The faith and blind trust in Hashem acted as a safeguardness for his wisdom. Because of that, he was capable of living forever. And that's why, before the hate, before the sin, he was allowed to eat from the Eitz HaChayim, from the tree of life, and he would live forever. Then there was and for that reason, the Eitz HaChayim, the tree of life, was Beseich HaGan, in the middle of the garden, it states, Rashi brings, because it represented the perfection of balance. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, don't eat from the Eitz HaDaas, that's not for you. The Eitz HaDaas, that's a tree of knowledge, Tov V'Ra, of good and evil. Now why wasn't that for man? It was man's perfection to have an understanding of good. But to have a clear understanding of evil, that was not to man's perfection. And the Eitz HaDaas was called Eitz HaDaas Tevara, the knowledge of good and evil. And this was not to man's perfection. The Chazal tell us that Das, knowing something, is not merely knowing something, but knowing something is an attachment. This is something that scientists never understood until recently. Chazal tell us that the greatest attachment to something is knowing and understanding it. And they bring, that's why Das is Loshen Chibur, to connect. And why is it? Because when we understand something thoroughly, then a link is forged between our brain and that that we understand. And it becomes part of us forever. And this is something that scientists are proving and understanding today with their more modern techniques. Therefore, knowing something and understanding is not abstract. It's an association. It's a link. It becomes part of the human experience, part of the human person. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have created you to know good. A further wisdom, to know evil, that's not for you. That's a Chochmah Yisera. That's a wisdom that will throw you off balance. And therefore do not eat from the Eitz HaDaas Tevara. Because if you do, then you will understand evil with such a clarity that you will associate to evil, and you will forge a link to evil, and evil will become part of you. This way, it is distant from you. So this was the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them not to eat. They went and they ate. And what does the Torah tell us? It states, their eyes opened up. All of a sudden, a new dimension. They saw things clearly and associated with things that they never dreamt of before. And they saw that they were without clothes, they were naked. And when they heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming, so they went and they hid themselves. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they were naked, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked them, why have you hid yourself? And they said, Ki eru manechi v'acheva, because we are naked. And he said, Mihi gidlocho ki eru moto, who told you were naked? What does it mean, who told you were naked? They had seichel before. They were very wise before. It states that Adam was able to look at every animal and give him his proper name. But he said, who told you that because you're naked, you had to hide for me? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat from? Because before, they were also naked. But they didn't find it necessary for them to hide themselves. They weren't ashamed, because before, their entire association was only with good and with purity and with mitzvahs. They saw no evil in a nakedness, because evil was very far from them. To the contrary, they saw purity, they saw mitzvahs. So for what reason should they conceal themselves? But now that they ate from the tree, and it was Yodea Tav Tovra, and now they understood evil, and there was a link with evil, there was a chibor, a connection, and there was an association with evil, the shame of nakedness comes from this association of the evil of nakedness. But that was only after they forged a link with evil. Before then, it was a total purity. And therefore, they concealed themselves. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked, Mihi gidlocho, who told you? Not that you were naked, but who told you that because of this you should hide? Rashi brings in the Medrash that before, the Torah tells us, they were naked, and they weren't ashamed. Why did they have to distinguish between good and evil when they knew of no evil? There was a total purity and innocence. But there, even though they had great wisdom, but now that they ate from the tree, was nichnas ba yetzohora. Now there was a link forged with evil. And therefore, they were ashamed. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if you ate from this tree, then no longer are you fit to eat from the Eitz HaChayim, from the tree of life, because you have lost that perfection, that mitzvah, that perfect balance and center. You have taken on a chochma yisera, an additional wisdom which is not good for man, a wisdom of what evil is also. So it wasn't a reward that they got. This answers the Rambam's question. And this is why that Hashem had forbade them to eat from it. And this is why they were allowed beforehand to eat from the tree of life. But now, they were forbidden. So this is the background of the Eitz Hadas, Tevara, and the Eitz Hachayim. What brought him to this sin? So the Torah tells us, Anocha shoyo oru mikol chayas hasode. The serpent, here oru means hakima, was the cunningness of all of the beasts of the field. And he was the one who enticed him to this. Why does it tell us that the serpent was the cunningest? This is what brought him to this sin. The serpent evidently had this wisdom before. Orum is a word of wisdom, but it's different than wisdom. Chochma means wisdom. Orum, aroma, that comes from the word ormo, armimus, which means cunningness, shrewdness, deceitfulness. Now this is an unbalance in wisdom. There's a wisdom with purity, and then man can use his wisdom for a cunningness, for a shrewdness, for deceitfulness. And that's what the word ormo means. Ormo, the Torah uses when you come and you ambush someone. Armimus. And this was the serpent. The serpent had this wisdom already. And now he used his wisdom to try to bring man down. And he succeeded. He used his wisdom to bring man down, and he brought death to the world through this tree. Because had they not eaten from the tree, and had it not been from the serpent, b'chayla olam, they would have lived forever. But because of the tree, and because of the enticement of the serpent, mavas bala olam, death came to the world. Because this additional dimension of wisdom, which was not fit for a man, came to him, and it destroyed him. Incidentally, the word nochosh, serpent, the serpent also is a very brazen animal. And this is the brazenness of that additional wisdom. And the word nochosh, the Torah relates with, in a place with nechoshes, nechash nechoshes, copper. And the Maral brings in a place because nechoshes, copper, is the azim, is the strongest of all of the metals. It resists corrosion more than any other metal. Actually, when the Torah writes nechoshes, some translate it as copper, some as bronze, some as brass. But bronze and brass are made from copper. And it's the copper quality that gives it this resilience and this resistance to erosion. And this was the serpent. So this gives us a background now. Now we come back to our Gemara. The Gemara says, an individual is going to rise up and make such a decree over Israel. This is a capability of destroying the world, the whole world. Where does he get this power from? So the Gemara says, you know where he gets this power from? His name is in the Torah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, and he said, where are you? I'm looking for you. And he said, and they said, we're hiding, because we're naked. And Hashem said, Mihigid lochoki erumato, who told you were naked? Amino eitza shesi bisichel vilti achol mimena cholto. Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? Hamin homon. There is the name of Haman. Eating from that tree and realizing that because they're naked they had to hide from Hashem, there Haman's name is written. Right with the parsha of the Eitz Hadas and the serpent and the Eitz Hachayim. Now the Gemara means as follows. Who was Haman? Haman was Amalek. Amalek was the great grandson of Esau. And Amalek was was a particular grandson of Esau. He was going to become the most dreaded nation in the world to Klal Yisrael and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the most historical individual of this nation was to be Haman. And this nation, where do they draw their power from? They draw their power from the Eitz Hadas Tevara. Just as this tree brought death to the world, and the serpent brought death to the world, this is where they draw their power from this tree and this serpent, because they too will try to bring death to the world. And we see what was the quality of Amalek. The Torah tells us the quality of Amalek was chutzpah. Lo yore elekim. When Klal Yisrael went out of Egypt, and all of the great miracles took place in the splitting of the sea, and it states, all of the nations of the world heard and saw and trembled, and along came Amalek to make war against Hashem, to make war against Israel. And the question is asked, why? If all of the nations, if all of the nations heard and trembled, so why was not Amalek afraid? And the Torah tells us, at the end of Kiseitze, Parshas Zohar, that will read the Shabbos, they weren't afraid because v'la yore lakim, because they had no fear for Hashem. They were kafir. They denied the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had all of the wisdom. They had all of the wisdom of the Eitz Hadas Tevara. And they have no trust, no tmimus. Yisrael believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of the nations of the world believed in the great miracles of Egypt. They denied them all. They said they didn't happen. They were the atheists. They gave a physical, a scientific explanation as to what happened. This is the brazenness. This is the arrogance. That after seeing the greatest miracles in the world, they were still arrogant enough. Like you find we have many scientists today that after seeing the greatest wonders, they are still arrogant enough to say, there is no God. The miracles were no miracles. This was Amalek, lo yore elekim. And not only did they have this arrogance, but this poison they went to poison the minds of the world with their arrogance and chutzpah. Rashi brings that no nation would have ever started up with Israel when they went out of Egypt because they all trembled. When Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, was Rochav told the servants of Yeshua, come in, the land is yours. Lo komo ruach bi'ish. No man has a spirit left. They are so trembling of Israel. And still Amalek came to war. Rashi brings Moshe lambati reisecha shein kolberi yechole yeri besecho. An example where you have a boiling hot tank of water where there's not one individual in the world that will jump into it. Bo ben Belial echod, Belial echod. One person, Belial, that's Belial, a person without any Yiras Hashem will come. Kofat v'yore l'secho, and he'll jump into it. And even though he will get burnt, he cools it off for others to follow. This was Amalek. And this was their quality. And in this way, he resembles the serpent. Actually, the just like the serpent was destined to bring death to the world, so was Amalek. And we notice, just like the serpent, it states the serpent used Lashon Hara. He told Chava, eat from the tree. That the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said not to eat is because if you'll eat, you'll be like him, and he doesn't want anyone else to be like him. Haman also used Lashon Hara. Haman spoke Lashon Hara to Ahasuerus against Mordechai and against the Yehudim. And the hate of Lashon Hara is always known as the hate Shel HaNochash HaKamayni, the sin of the original serpent. And why is that? What we mentioned before, because Lashon Hara, the serpent, was the essence of death to the world, and so is Lashon Hara. HaMoves B'yar HaLoshon, the death is beheld by the tongue. And just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu took revenge against the serpent, and he says, because of this, Oru Atomi Kol Chayas HaSode, you are cursed from all of the beasts of the field, and he pushed them aside, so did HaKadosh Baruch Hu swear revenge against Amalek. And he said that as long as Amalek is in the world, then my throne and my name is not complete, because they espouse a poison into the world which destroys my sovereignty. And therefore, Milchoma, I swear there'll be war with them forever until Timcha Zecher Amalek. Destroy them completely. This was the Mida Keneged Mida. Haman stood up to destroy Yisrael completely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu foresaw that in Amalek. Therefore he said that the day will come, destroy them completely, every one of them. Now, Mordechai and Esther, they were the ones who could stop this plague. It was Mordechai, he had this power of life in him, like we brought from the Ketores. And we said the Ketores brings atonement against Lashon Hara, against Moves, and against the plague. And Esther and Mordechai were just the opposite of Haman. Haman was this wisdom without gevul, without boundaries. A wisdom and an association with evil to such an extent where he perpetrated the greatest evil the world has ever known. And Esther and Mordechai, it states just the opposite. They were very concealed. The name Esther means to conceal. Opposite of brazenness, openness, aggressiveness in chutzpah. And Mordechai by the Ketores, it's interesting, the Ketores, the Gemara says, Yovei Dovashe B'chashoy, let something that comes secretly, and let it give atonement for Lashon Hara, which is said secretly. The Ketores was always brought in concealment, and Yom Kippur was brought Lifnai Lufnim, in the most inner chambers, and every day when it was brought on the inner altar, not on the outer altar. And Esther and Mordechai came, they were from the descendants of Rochel. And the Gemara says Rochel was very concealed. And it states that the seed of Amalek will fall into the hands of the seed of Rochel. And we see Esther, who came from the seed of Rochel. Yosef also was from the seed of Rochel. And it states that he fulfilled Torah in secret, in the house of Parai, the palace of Parai. And Esther fulfilled Torah in secret in the palace of Ahasuerus. And the greatest weapon that Mordechai and Esther used to bring down Haman was that of tefillah, of prayer. Esther went and she said, Tzumolai, fast 3 days, and I also and my maidservants will fast, and we will be mispalel, we will pray to Hashem. And the power of tefillah, that's in its entirety. That's tmimus. That's blind faith. There is nothing that one can understand with wisdom in the power of prayer. That to the contrary. That's kula emuna. That is total belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules the world. And where did they pray? In the darkest days. In Shushan HaBira, in the Golus, when the decree had already come to light, it was a decree of Moses. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, there'll be a day when there'll be tzoris rabbis, great tzoris. And people will say that I have turned my face, ki ein Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with us. That is why all of the tzoris is coming. He said, this is not true. Whether you can see me or not, I am with you. And even though Haste Astir Ponai, it looks like I'm not with you, here will be the power of Esther to bring out in the most darkest times of history, when there is no chokhmah, there is no wisdom, the great emunah b'Hashem, the great faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he will bring great Yeshua's great salvation, which will destroy Haman and his seed. So this is the explanation which the Gemara tells us. Haman minatera minai. From where draws the power of Haman? Esther minatera minai. From where do we see Esther draws her power? Umotchai minatera minai. And Motchai. We should all be zeicher to have a freilich Purim. And we should again see the great Yeshua's Hashem, the great miracles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Klal Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.